Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together, isn't it? I think Jeremy had us worried there for a little bit, but I was thinking about, he was sharing about the body, right? And if something would have happened, I think the body would have sort of kicked in, and we would all been there, right? That's good. Well, shall we kneel together to pray before we start? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God Almighty, God of heaven and earth. Thank you for washing our sins away through the blood of Jesus. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to live within our heart. Thank you for your continued work of purging us and cleansing us and making us more Christ-like. Oh, Father, we are here this morning and we're so grateful for the singing, how we could lift our voices and sing, worship you. And now as we again open your word, we ask that you would speak to us. God, make it alive to our hearts. Give us understanding and the ability to connect with you and what you have for us, Lord. Lord, you know, there's also various families that are gone today, traveling, other churches and various things. We ask that your grace would be upon them as well. We ask that all of us would have ears to hear and eyes that see and an understanding heart as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, for an opening verse. And the title is A Vineyard on a Very Fruitful Hill. And maybe another subtitle that I could give it would be The Nature of Lukewarmness, would be another subtitle that we could give it. What I want to share about this morning, look at, I guess, some of the things that are going through my mind as we look at these verses is the whole idea of how we can, as individuals, as families, and as a church, have everything in order. We have everything just right, and yet we can miss the heart of drawing close to God daily, and we can become lukewarm slowly and slowly lose out spiritually. That's the heart of what I'd like to talk about. In the context of these verses that we're going to look at, we have Isaiah, and here he has he tells about this vineyard, and he says how this man went out and he planted a vineyard on top of a hill. That was a very, very fruitful hill. And he had plans of planting this vineyard, and the fruit that would come out of this vineyard would just abound. It would just, you know, the fruit would just multiply. You know, like our gardens are doing, our gardens are growing right now. They're, it's just moving forward fast, and we're just coming to the place where very soon there's going to be fruit, from our labors, in our gardens. The fruit is going to spring forth, and we're going to have lots and lots of fruit. That's what he was looking at. And so on this vineyard, on top of a very fruitful hill, it says he fenced it. He put a fence around it. He put a fence around it to keep all the wild animals out. Not only that, he spent a lot of time and he gathered all the stones out of this vineyard. If you go over to Israel, there's so many rocks and stones everywhere. And, you know, here and there, if you travel around the community, there's places where you can see that there's a rock pile. Where in Israel, there's rocks everywhere. It seems like you pick up stones and you've only begun. After you have huge piles, you've only started. Anyhow, it says that he gathered out the stones, and then it says that he planted the choicest vines, you know, the best, the very best of the best is what he planted in this vineyard. Then he went and he built a tower in the middle of this vineyard. He built a tower. I don't know what all that's supposed to signify, but he built this tower in the middle of the vineyard. I assume this little tower, he could watch everything that happened as the workers worked. They planted, they did all the stones and stuff. He could watch and he could observe what all was happening. And he could watch as the vines grew. And in the vineyard, he also built a wine press. He built a wine press in preparation for the harvest to come. And he made all these preparations and he was getting it all ready. And then the crop that came was wild grapes. The crop that came was wild grapes. Then he asked the question, what could I have done? That's how he, in the end of everything, he says, what could I have done? And here he has this crop of wild grapes when he had done all this labor and he had put all this energy into it, and now the fruit of his labors were, there was wild grapes. Well, let's read here in Isaiah chapter 5. This is what it says. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that he should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray thee, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could I have done more to my vineyard that I have done to it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go, and now go too. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, and behold, oppression for righteousness. Behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitation. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and viol and tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And on the heels of that, here in verse 14, it says, therefore, or because of all these things that's happening with the children of Israel, because of all these things, therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. I'll stop there. It's quite the story, isn't it? Quite the story. But he uses this illustration about how that everything was just right. Everything was just right. He built his vineyard. He put the fence around it. He planted. He plucked out the stones, and he made everything look just right. Put a tower in there, just on and on. And finally, it brought forth wild grapes. It makes me think of just up the road here. I drove past just the other day. And there's some corn that was planted that's just beautiful. And there's a field on the right. As you just go out here about a mile and go up the over little knob on the right, there's this corn that's yellow. It had too much rain. There's a major problem going on there. There's something not right. Just reminded me of this. So consider with me, as we turn to the book of Revelation chapter 3, I want to just consider this whole idea of how we can do everything just right and yet on the inside have a lot of problems and a lot of issues and be slowly moving away from God within our hearts. Considering the nature of lukewarmness. The nature of lukewarmness. What is the nature of lukewarmness? I have at work, sitting on my desk, a big water jug. And I like to have that water real nice and cold. Now, if it's really nice and cold, I can't drink as much. If it's lukewarm, I can drink more. But really, I like my drinks either hot. I don't like warm coffee. I just can't stand it. Once it cools down till, I drink it. All of you who know me, once a coffee gets down about this far, then it's about too lukewarm and I just don't drink it. Tea the same way. It's like, warm tea is okay, cold water is okay, but warm pop is horrible. Cold pop is great. But do you follow? Even in the natural, we like it either cold or hot. That's how we like it. That's how we like it. And in the same way, God wants us to have this fire within our bosoms that's shining or that flame within our bosom that's just it's alive. It's constantly there's fresh fuel in that flame, and there are things going on in there that we, as we're connecting with God, it's just we're connected to God. The unfortunate thing is that when a person becomes lukewarm, normally they're not aware of it. There's a blindness that sort of settles in. And that's why I think it's good for us to today just look at those things and consider where we are spiritually with God. Where we are, whether that light is burning brightly or whether it is slowly waning away and becoming dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. The interesting thing about lukewarmness is, if we look in Revelation chapter 3 about the church of Laodicea that was lukewarm, the interesting thing is the things that are mentioned in that chapter that lull the people to sleep is everywhere around us right here now. I'll just mention a couple ones. It says that they say that I am rich. Now, where in the world, tell me this, where in the world can we go that there's the kind of riches and prosperity that we have in America? Where in the world can we go? You know, there are places that have plenty of money and all that. But as a whole, there is money, there is riches, there is, if we need things, we go buy it. You know, I realize that there are people who literally live totally hand to mouth and they don't have enough to buy shoes and they don't have enough to buy food in America. There are some of those, but as a whole, that's not the case. So one of the things that is often there is riches. In fact, if you remember the children of Israel, God was pouring out blessings, and when they came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness, and then when they came into the promised land, one of the great warnings that God gave them is when all these riches come and you have your grapes and you have your figs and and I'm going to pour out all these blessings on you. But remember, when I give you these blessings, don't forget me. Don't forget me. I was thinking about raising my hand this morning when we were having little testimonies here, but I didn't. Isn't it so easy for us, brothers, I have my job. I have a good job. And so, why do I need to ask God for food? Right? Because I go to work. Tomorrow morning I go to work and I make a living, get my paycheck, and go buy food. And in the Lord's Prayer, he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Ought to be a part of the things that we just bring to God every day. Every day we bring to God. Anyhow, what I was going to say, brothers, is, we're starting our little shed business there. and things, you know, we're just starting out. And so guess what? We, this spring when we started and got some sheds out and things were starting to move forward some, we weren't working full. Employees, we had some employees and we weren't working full. And so, We make a habit of praying about God supplying our needs regularly. We just do, okay? We try to do that on a regular basis. But here we were, and it seemed like there wasn't going to be enough to satisfy the needs. And so we, became more earnest about it, okay? And guess what happened? Guess what happened? Things happened in a different way than what we were asking for, but it was the Lord's way, okay? We prayed and we prayed, and orders were coming, but not so we could work full. Well, we made some connections with some people down south with two different companies, and it seemed like both of them were asking things of us that we couldn't do, longer-term commitments. And as we looked at that, finally, the one that we would have preferred working for said, no, everything, doors are closed, no option. The other one, who was actually after us for quite some time, who we thought would be a better fix, we told them we would make a longer-term commitment to them because of the situation. And guess what? 3 days later, we get a call from the other one and saying, we need assistance right now. And all of a sudden, we have two people that are saying, we've got work for you. All that to say that the one we made a commitment to, we still haven't done anything for. The other one that was a definite, absolute no, and there was no long-term, or they said we can't do it unless there's a long-term commitment, we have all the work we can do, okay? But just to say, God, when we bring our needs to God, and we just, we get serious about it, and we pray and we trust God, we pray, God wants to help us in our situations. And that's a very, that's just a material thing. But what about on the spiritual side? What about just our, our all the things that we need on a daily basis? Just being connected to God in that way where there's this flowing, we're reaching out to God and God's meeting our needs and it's all there. It's all there. Anyhow, the nature of lukewarmness. Here are some things that are always there. Plenty of everything, a life of ease. And then he said, when thou art full. Is there fullness around here? Fullness of bread? Is there idleness? We're all busy, but let me tell you, there's some idleness. Maybe in the wrong things. And when we don't have needs, we don't depend on God because we don't have any needs. Why? Everything's just going in such a good way, and we don't trust Him. We don't reach out to Him. So those are the things that are there, that are often there when lukewarmness starts settling in. There's fullness of bread. There's plenty. Everything is just moving forward. There's fullness of bread, fullness of everything. Those are the ingredients that are normally there when people slowly become lukewarm. So I'd like for us to just consider, as individuals, as families, and as a church, the possibility that we can slowly, the spiritual life can slowly be ebbing away because we are not depending. We don't need God. Things are just there, just happening, and we don't need God. And so, therefore, our eyes are turning off of Christ onto other things. Let's read in Revelation chapter 3. Maybe starting to read in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, says, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame and thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, here he puts some of these things out, and he says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched. Wretched simply means that things are way out of order. You know, things are just way out of order. We have no idea. If we're in this place of lukewarmness, it says, thou knowest not that thou art wretched. Things that ought to be in our heart, that walk in relationship with God, we don't realize that those things are not in place. Somehow there's a disconnect. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. It reminds me of a family that some years ago we worked with very closely. Very closely for a number of years. We brought them through to salvation. We walked beside them for some time. And I remember the joy that they had. It seemed like there was a joy flowing out of their hearts. They were together as husband and wife. There was lots of beautiful things happening. God did miracles, unbelievable miracles in this family's life. Today, they have totally put aside walking with the Lord. They don't even profess to be a Christian anymore. And more recently, we heard there's some pretty major things going on with their marriage, and their marriage is on the rocks as well. And I consider where they're at. They would say they're happy, but I can tell it in their face. I can tell it when I talk with them. They're miserable. They're very miserable, and yet there's a... they don't realize how miserable they are. It's just, you know, they don't realize how bad it is. Now, we don't need to come to that place of that being that destitute of God in order to be miserable. But simply not walking and resting in God and His grace brings a miserableness into us. And sometimes when our faith is not... where it ought to be, when our faith isn't strong enough, we wrestle and we're in a place of being miserable. And when we find that rest and peace and with God, there's just that rest that comes. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. It says blind. In other words, we can't see where we are at. We can't see that. Blind and naked. Naked. We don't have the righteousness of God on us anymore. The righteousness of God is out there, and it's no longer, we're no longer clothed with the righteousness of God. And it's because we've allowed the life of Christ to ebb out of our life, slowly but surely. I'd like to just consider some of the things that it says here in order for us to be moving forward in either restoring or moving forward in our vitality with Christ. It says here in verse 18, it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold. You know, come buy of me. You know, come to me. He's saying, come to me and buy some gold. How do you buy some gold? Well, it reminds me of a week ago. We were out of state, and we were spending the weekend with the brothers there in Woodbury, Tennessee. And in being there, we met a family that just recently started attending. And this family, as a family, they're really trying to find their way. There's a fair amount of struggle, between husband and wife. But let me just tell you one thing here. They have a couple youth. They have about 8 children, maybe 9, 10, I'm not sure. But they have a couple older youth. And as we talk with them, this is what they said. They said, we went through times where we questioned whether there is a God. This is a young man about 22 or 23 years old now. He said, I didn't know whether to believe that there's a God. I questioned that up through his teenage years. He said, I questioned that. And he got very, very serious as a young man. And he prayed and he started reading the Bible. And he sought God, and he wanted to know for himself, because it seemed like all around him was confusion. There was confusion going on, and he didn't know what was true and what was not true. So he prayed to God. He prayed to God, and he read the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he came to the persuasion that there is a God, and this is his word, and I'm going to simply do what it says. And he just gave himself to trying to understand what God would have him do. And you know what? We talked about, as a family, we talked about those couple youth, that they have something that is very beautiful. There's just a sweet spirit of God oozing out of their life. You can tell they're connected with God. It's like they're connected, you know, they've got a hold of God somehow. And I asked myself the question, what if, brothers and sisters, what if somehow we in our homes, somehow our children are in that vineyard, and we put a fence around it and we put a tower on, and we've put the best vines there, and all we get is wild grapes. You follow what I'm saying? That was the thoughts that were going around in my mind. And those young men, or that one young man and 2 girls, what they have been through, and now their wholehearted commitment to serving God. You could tell that the life of Christ was oozing out of their life. And I was thinking, what if somehow we have that vineyard, we have the fence around it, we have the tower there, we put the best vines, and we put all that energy in day after day picking out those stones, and then all we end up is with wild grapes. Just a bunch of wild grapes. And I was just thinking about that and saying, brothers, what can we do? What will we do that we stay connected with God Almighty and our young men and our young women are connected to God in that way? It's, we all know salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to His Word. And what if we have planted vineyards and somehow we get a bunch of wild grapes? And I think of this verse where it says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. I like to suggest young people and old people, if you're in a place where somehow you feel like you're not connected to God like you desire to be, I'd like to suggest that you just pray to God and say, God, whatever you need to bring into my life, I want that gold tried in the fire. It says, come and buy it from me. How do you do that? How do we buy this gold tried in the fire? Well, let me tell you some of the things that have happened to me. I'm not going to give you details, but I've come to God in that way where I've said, God, I want to serve you with all my heart. And whatever you need to bring into my life to make so that I stay on the straight and narrow path, Lord, I hesitate to do it, and yet I open myself to you in that way. And Lord, keep me there. And whatever trials and things you need to send to help me, I'm willing to go through that. And I surrender myself. And as I open myself to God in that way, God sends things my way. He sends some things that are sometimes pretty difficult. But young people, moms and dads, give yourself, buy of me gold, try it in the fire. And those things, let me just tell you, those things are often difficult. But those are the things that bring us closer to God, just like these young people that I just mentioned. They have come through very difficult times, and they are latching a hold of God, and they're trusting Him, and they're trusting His Word. And it's more than just picking out some stones out of the vineyard. It's more than just putting a little fence out around, and it's more than just planting the choicest vines. They are connecting with God. I sense that. I appreciated it. I could tell there's life. There's something happening in their bosoms. And it's like this flame, the love of Christ is there. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. White raiment is the righteousness of God. White raiment is when we have been honest and we're humble enough to just confess our sins. We're humble enough to just be honest with the things that are happening in our life. We're just honest with our brothers and sisters. We're honest with our parents. We're honest with our spouse, with the things we face. And as we do that, we confess, and the Lord washes and makes us all clean. There's a righteous white garb that the Lord puts on us. And it's not just one time. That robe of righteousness is for those who are faithful. The robe of righteousness is for those who walk in holiness and purity with God. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That the shame of your nakedness do not appear. I've talked to those who have said, I'm a Christian. I'm sure you have too. But you, as you talk and you share, there's carnal interests just oozing out of the person. There's carnality. And that's a nakedness. When the things that are coming out of us, they ooze of carnality. They ooze of worldliness. They ooze of anything but Christ and His Word. And that's the shame of our nakedness. It's the shame of our nakedness. I'm not here suggesting that all our conversations that we have, everything is about the Word of God. We're here to make a living. We're here to work. We're practical Christians. We live our lives. And yet, totally entwined in our everyday life is Christ. And it just, if you bump into someone, often what's in there sort of comes out. If you bump, this glass isn't full anymore, but if it gets bumped a little bit, water came out. And that's how it is in our spiritual life or in our physical life. If we get bumped a little bit, something comes out. What comes out? Is it Christ that comes bubbling out? It makes me think back quite a number of years ago when I faced some situations one night in my endeavor to share the gospel with someone. And as I was sharing, it's a long story. Maybe I should share it. This happened some. Our oldest were quite young yet, so I'm going to say it's probably 20 years ago. One evening, my wife and I and our one or two little sons were at my in-laws. And this was the evening before 4th of July. And we're going to spend the evening, the night there. And so we were sitting in the living room talking. And it was getting late. And around 11 o'clock, 11:30, we heard some tires squealing out on the road. All the windows were open. We heard some tires squealing as if someone was stuck. We listened and went out on the porch. It appeared like someone was stuck out on the road. So we jumped into the vehicle and we drove out to see if we could help them. And here there was someone literally backed into a pretty deep ditch and couldn't get out. And they were trying to turn around. And you could tell that this person had a little bit to drink, not bad, probably had something to do with why they backed into the ditch and turning around. But we were there talking, and we ended up getting a tractor and pulling him out. And then we stood on the road sharing the gospel and talking. And we ended up taking him into the driveway there and talking and sharing, because we wanted to share the gospel. Anyhow, as time went on, they were asking for some more private sharing, and you know, this is back in the, it'd probably be slow to do some of this today, but you know, we were zealous. We were there to share the gospel. We were there to do everything we can to help people. Anyhow, it ended up that I and this fella were driving down a road to give him opportunity to talk. And I had been hesitant to go with him for various reasons, this time of the night and everything. But it ended up that I was driving his vehicle, so I have control of the vehicle, and that's why I agreed to go along. But here we were, past midnight, driving down the road, me sharing the gospel, and sharing. And for quite some time, he had been very open, and then it seemed like he was closing down, and I was turning and circling back. But as we were gone, heading back about 2 or 3 miles out, probably at least 3 miles out, he said, "Do you mind if I touched you?" And you can imagine the things that were going on in my mind when I realized what all was going on in his. And I said, "No, I don't want you to touch me." And I started praying out loud. And the point in me telling this story here, brothers, is the things that are in the heart will come out. That's my point. I prayed for a while, then he was quiet, and I stopped praying. And all of a sudden, he was in the passenger seat. All of a sudden, he put his right hand over on my knee. And I said, "In Jesus' name, move over." And he was literally against the door like this. That's just what came out of me. Okay. I remember the next Monday morning going to work. And when I related the story, there's guys say, "Oh, I would have beat him up." Do you follow? Okay. But that never crossed my mind. If we're vitally connected with God Almighty and things happen, God will be there, and the things that come out, you know, it'll be of God and it won't be from the flesh. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." And it says, "Anoint thine eyes with eye salve." Now, I believe that many times we have this idea that it's God that anoints my eyes with eye salve, and it is. But he's saying, you come to me and you buy gold tried in the fire, and he says, you anoint your eyes with eye salve. In other words, I get from this that somehow we need to be the ones that just reach out to God and say, "God, I need this. Lord, would you please open my eyes so I can see this situation the way that you want me to see it? It's us taking action, and we move toward God. We move toward God, and as we move toward God, God puts the eye salve on. It's God that puts it on, but we need to make the move toward Him. It's us that comes to Him and say, God, I need that cloak of righteousness. God, I don't know what all this is, you know, this gold tried in the fire, but I want it. God, somehow, you know, even if it's hard, I'm willing to go through it, but I want to be connected to you, oh God. Brothers, we don't want a whole bunch of wild grapes around here, do we? We don't. We don't want a whole bunch of wild grapes. So that means that every one of us needs to come to God. We need to come to Him. That connection to where He puts that robe of righteousness on us. And it's a part of our life. It's not just a one time when we get converted that He puts this robe of righteousness on us, but it's He puts it on, and then we're vitally connected, and it's obvious. It's obvious. It's obvious to others that there's something going on in the heart. He's got a hold of something. He's got a hold of God. You can tell it. Thou mayest be clothed that the shame do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, he's saying, I'm here at the door, I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I want to give all this to you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Wow, such beautiful words. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I want to be one of those that just simply opens the door and says, come on in, Lord, and I'll sup with you. And we communicate. What does that mean? He will sup with me, us with him, he with us. You know, I just get the picture of when we sit together as a family. We all sit around. There's 10 of us. We all sit around the table, and we're just talking and sharing and eating and this interaction like this. Isn't that what God's looking for? That's what God is looking for. He's looking that we have that type of walk with Him. And it's not just one time back there when we got converted. But brothers, it's a daily walk with God. And we can have some nice structure in our homes and in our families and in the church and on the job. We can have all kinds of structure and all kinds of things. And hey, brothers, that's nice and good. But let me tell you, if you look around, there's a lot of wild grapes around, isn't there? There's a lot of wild grapes around. There's a lot of wild grapes around, brothers. But we want to be at the place where the things we're connecting with God and the things that are just coming, just flowing from our life is from God Almighty. It's the very life of Christ. It's His Spirit within us. It's oozing and flowing out of us because of our walk with Him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's a lot of other things we could talk about in the middle of all this, but I think we'll stop with that. I think we all want to go that way, don't we? We want to go that way. We want to go in the ways of God, to where there's that just this the very life of Christ. We're current. As young people, I love when our young people, they have that type of interest where they sit around with the dads and they listen to the conversations and they participate with those spiritual things, and their hearts are drawn in those directions. I just love and appreciate I just appreciate all of you very much. And let's just draw nigh to God. Let's draw nigh to God. Let's have that robe of righteousness. Let's have those things just, let's not have a bunch of wild grapes, empty religion, dead religion, dead works. Let's not have that, but let's be full of the life of God within us. Lord bless you.